The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Nun Tes, and we are seven lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Nun Ches Amid Beis. So the last few Mishnayos of this two Perek Sugya, Perek Yeshnoichlan, and Perek Mishameis, discusses two people dying, and there's a suffix who died first, with ramifications in Hilchas Nachlis. The first Mishnah on Kufnun Zayin and Aleph discussed Nafal Habayis Olav Ve'al Oviv. There was a man and his father together in a bayis. The bayis fell. Both of them died. And the question was, who died first? Yarshei Ya'ov are saying one thing. The Yarshei Ben, in that case, there was a Baal Choyv and a Ksubas Isha are saying something else. There was a Safik. The second Mishnah, which was on Kufnun Chesam and Aleph, discussed Nafal HaBayis Olav Ve'al Ishtoi. And again, the same Shailah. Did the Isha die first? In which case, her husband Yarshin her? Or did the man die first? In which case, he would not be able to yashin his wife, because even though there is a concept of Yerusha Bekever, but Eina Baal Yerush as Ishtoi Bekever. The third Mishnah was Nafal Abayis Olav Ve'al Imoy, where there was a man, not with his father, not with his wife, but rather with his mother. The house fell, both of them died. And again, there's a Shaila. Did he die first, or did his mother die first? Again, discussion what exactly the halacha would be. So regarding this last Mishnah, Nafal Abayis Olav Al Imoy, the Mishnah said, Elov Edom Moedom Sheyachloiku, that despite the fact that in the previous Mishnayas there was a machloikis b'shamim and b'sil, what exactly the halacha would be, in this Mishnah, the Tanakhama says, everyone agrees, both b'shamay and b'sil, that the halacha is going to be achloiku. Rabbi Akiva said, I don't agree. Moedani b'zush anachasim b'cheskasim. I think that even in this case, the halacha, according to Beis Hillel, is going to be what it was in the previous two Mishnah. And that is, you treat it as a regular Suffolk moment, and I'm having a hard enough time dealing with the fact that Beishamai Bisil argued in the previous Mishnayas that Beis Hill didn't agree to Beishamai in the first two Mishnayas, and rather than Paskin Yachloiku, they said Nechasim Bechaskasim. You're coming now, and you're coming to tell me that even in this case, where maybe we can get away with saying there's no Machloikis, even here there's a Machloikis. So at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara explained what the Svara was. Why should we say that here it would be a little bit more pashit? But either way, we pick up on a more agav note. Amalei ben Azai al chalukam anu mitzdarin. Amar Rav Samloi ando amro ben Azai Talmud Chavad Rabbi Akiva Haver. From this Mishnah we see that ben Azai was a Talmud Chavad Rabbi Akiva, meaning he was a Talmud Rabbi Akiva, but he felt on some level like a counterpart of Rabbi Akiva, the Kamalei Shabasa. And you see it from the way he spoke to Rabbi Akiva, because if Rabbi Akiva was a regular Rebbe and ben Azai would talk to him like a Talmud would to a Rebbe, he would have never said, Shebasa, you, Rebbe. You don't say you to your Rebbe. You speak in the third person. So from the fact that he didn't say Rabbeinu, but rather he said Shebasa, that's a raya that despite the fact that we know in Shas, Ben Azai was Talmud Rabbi Akiva, but it was a Talmud Chavad Rabbi Akiva. It's actually interesting because there are many Gemaras where you see Rabbi Akiva had a tremendous amount of respect for Ben Azai. Ben Azai was a super genius. He was a super masmid. Ben Azai was the one who didn't get married. He said, Ma'esa shenafshi chashki b'toira. There's a Tosfos that says that Ben Azai really did get married. He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter, and Rabbi Akiva's daughter had the same fate as Rabbi Akiva's wife. Just like Rabbi Akiva's wife had a husband, Rabbi Akiva, leave her for 24 years. Rabbi Akiva's daughter had the same thing. But either way, there's a lot between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai and Shas. So this just is a little bit more fuel to that fire. A Gemara here tucked away in Bava Basra, Kufnun Chesam and Beis, where the Gemara says that despite the fact that Ben Azai was a Talmud, even the Eidim of Rabbi Akiva, but he was an Eidim Chaver. He was a Talmud Chaver to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara, Shochu Mitam, they sent the following Shaila from Eretz Yisrael to Bav. Ben Shelova bin Nechsei Aviv, a son that borrowed money against the assets of his father, who was alive at the time. So man has a son, father's alive, the son goes, he borrows money. The lender asked, are you going to pledge any collateral for this loan? He said, yeah. He says, what are you pledging? He says, my father's mechasim. One day my father's going to die. I'm going to yashin it. So while his father was alive, he went and he pledged the assets. Umeis. And then afterwards, Benoi, the son died. The halacha is, Benoi, the son of the son, third dar, moitz miyad alakuchas, has a right to be moitz miyad alakuchas. Now, if this doesn't make a lot of sense, it's not supposed to make sense, as the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. V'zu hisha kasha b'dinei mominus. And this halacha that they sent was a very, very shver halacha. What does that mean? We'll see. It's almost like a chida, like a riddle. Says the Gemara, loiva my mapik. Just how do you even read the words of the story? It sounds like somebody borrowed money against his father's assets while his father was alive, and then the next thing you know, there's lekuchais over here. In order to have lekuchais, something has to be sold. No one said anything about anything being sold. Ella says the Gemara, yitma hachi. I'm going to tell you what the sholchu mitam was, and you'll understand a little bit about what's going on. It This was really what happened. There was a person who sold his father's nechasin b'chayayaviv while his father was still alive. Umeis. And then the father died, and the son died. The halacha is that Benoi, the grandson, moitz miyad alekuchas. He has a right to be moitz miyad alekuchas. Meaning, had the son not sold the nechasim of the father, then right now the grandson would have yarshed those nechasim. Because the zayda died, the son died, the grandson would have yarshed it. The reason the grandson's not yarshing it is because his father sold it. So the grandson can come now with a taina, and he could say, my father, who sold those nechasim to you, really had no right to sell it. Because when he sold it, his own father was alive. So this was the halacha. Benoi moitzi miyad alekuchas. The grandson has a right to be moitzi miyad alekuchas. And the Gemara says, v'zui shekosha bedinei mominus. That despite the fact that this is the halacha, but it's really a very difficult halacha. If you think about it, it's a very, very shvera halacha. Says the Gemara. Why? Because v'leim rulei avuch mazbin va'at mapik, the lekuches should have a koyach ataina. They should be able to tell this grandson that what's your schus to be able to be moitzi it from me, the fact that you got it from your father. If your father sold it, your schus shouldn't be any better than what your father's schus was. And being that your father sold it, you shouldn't have a right to take it. The Rishonim are very bothered with this. Gemara is like one big enigma. Because pashup shat, what do you mean? You're right, the grandson is coming because of his father, but at the end of the day, the father's mechira wasn't a good mechira. At the time that he sold it, it wasn't his. He can't sell something that's not yours. So it's true, the koyach hataina of his grandson has something to do with his father, but at the end of the day, the original mechira wasn't a good mechira. So I'm very showing them, they try to give zechanetza here with this gemara. But again, what was the case? A ben shemacha benichsei yaviv, b'chaye yaviv, Umeis, now the grandson wants to be moitzi miyad alekuchas, he could. But it's a very shvera halacha. This was the telegram that came from Eretz Yisrael. V'zui shekasha b'dinei mominus. Why? Because it doesn't make sense that the grandson should be able to be moitzi from the lekuchas when the meicher was his own father. Because v'leim rulei, why shouldn't we be able to tell him? Avucha mazben v'at mapik. But the Gemara says, my kosher, duma matzi yomen, b'kayich avu d'abakasina. Why can't the grandson say that I'm not taking it from my father, I'm really taking it from my grandfather? So apparently what happened was the son died before the grandfather, or the father died before the grandfather. So being that the grandson is yarshing it from his grandfather, so maybe it's not such a taina. Meaning if he was getting it from his father sold it, so then there's this taina of a lame relay avuch mazmin vat mapik. It doesn't make sense. But being that he's really yarshing it not from his father, but from his grandfather, why isn't he yarshing it from his father? Because his father wasn't alive at the time. So why is it v'zui shekosha b'dinei mominus? Because there's such an obvious taina with this halacha of v'leim rulei avuch mazmin v'at mapich. Why is it such an obvious taina? And teda, by the way, a raya that a grandson can yarshin his grandfather, because the pasuk says tachas avisecha yuvanecha tishisei meilusarim b'chal aretz. So you see that there's an idea that a grandson yashins his grandfather. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that there's a very yusoidi shayla. Every time a grandson yashins his grandfather, how do you look at it? From a Hilchas Nachl standpoint, do you look at it as that a grandson has a schus to yashin directly from his grandfather? A son yashins his father, a person can yashin his brother, a person can yashin his grandfather. Or no, really a person doesn't yashin his grandfather. The reason Yerusha goes from a grandfather to a grandson is because the grandson's father, despite the fact that he's not alive, because if he was alive, he would yarshin the grandfather, despite the fact that he's not alive, he could still be Yerush. Yerush be K kever. It's what we know as mishmush. We spoke already about mishmush in the beginning of Yesh Leichlin. It's what we know as mishmush. So bekever he yarshins, and then he has an ability to be manchal over to his grandson. So when the grandson gets it, is he getting it from his father who got it from the Zayda, or is he getting it directly from the Zayda? And the Gemara somehow says that it should be toy in how you look at this case. If the grandson gets it from his father, and his father sold it, despite the fact that when he sold it, he never right to sell it, because he sold it, but there's still a svara, and that's why the Gemara considered this telegram as vizui shekosha v'dini mamanis, as a very, very difficult halacha to wrap our head around, because it doesn't make sense that if a father sells something, that his own son, who's only coming mikayachim, should be able to be meitzi miyad alakuchas. But if the grandson doesn't get it from his father, who got it from his father, but he gets it directly from the grandfather, so his schus in it is not his father, his schus in it is his zeda. So the fact that his father sold it should be neither here nor there, and there's no taina then of a lemer le'avuch mazm v'at mapik. So based on that, says the Gemara, umay kushya, meaning there was this halacha that came from Eretz Yisrael, benchabach b'nechze v'chayyav v'meitz b'nechze v'al l'kuchas, v'zui shakasha b'dinei mamanis, v'zui shakasha b'dinei mamanis assumes that the way it's grandson yashin's his grandfather is through his father, it's through mishmush, through the father being Yerush Bekever. But the Gemara's kasha is mechitesi. Maybe it's not the way it works. Ella says the Gemara, I kasha ha kasha. Meaning, there was some letter that came from Eretz Yisrael that was very shver, where they commented, v'zuhi shekasha b'dini mamanis. We thought that the halacha that came from Eretz Yisrael was this halacha. The problem is, if this was the halacha, then it's not so shver. So it couldn't have been the halacha. Meaning, we're trying to find a shver halacha. Usually you try to answer a kasha. Here we're actually trying to find a kasha, because there was a brief that said that v'zuhi shekasha b'dinei mamanis. That is what it said. So we need to retrofit now. We have to work backwards, back into a halacha, that it would make sense to say v'zuhi shekasha b'dinei mamanis. This is a little confusing because it's counterintuitive. Usually you're not trying to find something shver. Usually you try to answer things when they're shver. You try to find things that make sense. But here we're actually trying to find something shver. So eli kasha hakasha. If I can find you a halacha that is shver, maybe this is the halacha. Then b'char shemachar achelik b'char b'chayaviv. There was a b'char who's entitled to pishnayim, but only when his father dies. And while his father was alive, he sold his pishnayim. Umei. And then he died b'chaye aviv while the Zayda was alive. B'noi moitzi miyad alakuchais. When the Zayda later dies, the grandson can be moitzi miyad alakuchais. V'zui shakash b'dini mamanis. This is for sure very shver. You know why? Because avua mazben iu mapik. How could the grandson be moitzi miyad alakuchais something that his father sold? V'chitem. You can tell me hokinami amami koy chavu da'abakasino. You can tell me the same exact terrors that you said before. What's different? It's the same exact story. It's true the grandson yarshins, but he doesn't yarshin necessarily from his father who yarshins from the grandfather. Maybe the grandson yarshins directly from the grandfather. But the Gemara says here it can't be, because imi koy chavu da'abakasio. If the way you're looking at the Yerusha is that the grandson's taking it directly from the grandfather, then b'chelik b'chayim ma'abidite, why is he getting pishnayim? So the fact that he gets pishnayim, that's the dead giveaway over here. That's a raya that the grandson's getting it from his father, who is the b'char. But the point is, you see for sure that it's going through the father. Because if you're going to tell me that it's not going through the father, then there should be no halacha of pishnayim. So in the previous case, we were dealing not with a b'char, a pashut. He's getting one chelik, so you could say he's getting it straight from the grandfather. You could say he's getting it through the father. So, he had no right. But if he's getting a pishnayim, and he himself is not the bechor, it must be he's getting his father's chelik, who is the bechor. So, this would then be a raya. He's getting it from his father. And still the halach is that the b'noi is moitz miyad alakuchas. I v'leim rulei avuch mazmin ba'at mapik. So this is the kashab dinim amanis. This is in fact a very shvera halacha. Umay koshio. Dilma motzi omar mikoyach avu da abba kastino. Ubemokimot koimno. Meaning the Yerusha goes directly from the grandfather. As far as the terms of the Yerusha go, the terms of the Yerusha are dictated not based on who he is, but rather based on what his father would have got. But at the end of the day, he's not taking it from his father. He's taking it from his grandfather. That's, in essence, what the Gemara says. Eli kasha hakasha. So again, this is also not so shver. So if it's not shver, it's the wrong answer. We need to find a very shver halacha. Eli kasha hakasha. Yedele edus b'shtar. If somebody knew edus, atchaloi nasa gazlin, v'nasa gazlin. So there was a person who signs on a shtar. And at the time that he signed on the shtar, he was a shem yetayra mitzvahs, he was an upkehitaniyid. And then later, Nebuch, he became a gazlin. At this point, he's already posulatus. Now, if he signed the shtar at the time that he was a kosher, it's okay. However, the issue is going to be if you want to be mekayim the chesomis. Because we know that even though midah iraisa, edem achzum mal ashtar, nasa, kmishenach kredus in the bezdin, reshlokish is halacha, gittin daf gimel amad aleph, and in many different places in Shas. But the Rabbanon were mekayiv kiyam chesomis, kiyam shtaris the Rabbanon. A person whips out a shtar, you owe me $1,000. How do you know? I have a shtar with two edim. It's nothing, midrabanon. Midday race. But midrabanon not. Midrabanon, you have to verify the chasimais. Until Bezdin verifies the chasimais and they write a henpik, until that point, you can't be goyvim mamin, even if you have a shtar. Now, how are you mekayim a shtar? There's three ways it can be mekayim a shtar. Either the edim and the shtar themselves walk in the Bezdin and they say, ksav yodeinu. This is our signature. Or two other Edom come in. Or if there was a shtar that was previously used in Bezdin that already had Kiyam Chesamis, then they can match it. They can verify. They had a database. And they say, oh, we already know. You pull it up. This Chesimus work. Then everything is going to be okay. So what happened over here was you had two Edom. They signed on a shtar. Achlein Asa Gazan. And then one or both of them became Gazlonim. And now someone's being Ma'ar on the shtar. And we need a big Mekayim the Chesamoy. So who? The Gazlan himself inimate Al Ksav Yodeh. He can't be made Al Ksav Yodeh. So if somebody else will be made Al Ksav Yodeh, maybe that'll be okay. But right now, how can I be made Al Ksav Yodeh? Right now I'm a Gazlan. So if I'm a Gazlan, there's no way to do it. But others could be made Al Ksav Yodeh. What's the kasha? This is perhaps, as the Gemara, Shekosha Bedine Maminus. If they themselves wouldn't be believed to be Mekayim their own Chesamas, does it make sense that somebody else would be believed to be Mekayim their Chesamas? But the Gemara says, my Kosha, why is that such a Kasha? Dumok, going to Huchsech, Ksav Yodai Bebezin. We should have grappled to understand Pashup Shan in this Gemara. Every line of this Amid is Shver. Rashbam, Toysfus says that maybe when we say that Acherim Meyed, it's talking about where the Acherim were also Meyed before he became a Gazlan, which was a time where they could have been Meyed for themselves, and Bezdin was holding that Eidos in case at some point later they would have to use it because a Shtar would come that they would have to be Mekayim. But it's not Muchach either way that when we say that Acherim are Meyed, it means they can be Meyed right now. Maybe right now when the Eid is a Gazlan, so the Eid cannot be Meyed on himself. Maybe Acherim wouldn't be able to be Meyed for him either. When it says that Acherim are Meyed, maybe it means if they said the Eid is previously, we can use the Eidus right now, even though it's at a time where the Eid himself wouldn't be able to be made. But this apparent difficulty, it's perhaps not muchach at all. This is not either the very shver halacha. Maybe this was the brief that came. If somebody knew or he signed Eidus on a shtar, at the time, he had no shaykhis to this. He wasn't in the game. Bedavar, there were no issues. So the halacha is, and then later, he became a Negei Bedavar. He became a Baal Davar. How did he become a Negei Bedavar? Because someone died, and then somebody else died, and he ended up yarshining this estate. So, 5 years ago, somebody said Eidos regarding a field that it belongs to his third cousin. In the last 5 years, he ended up becoming the Yerush. Now that he's the Yerush, it's his field. So if we're ever going to use that Eidos that this person said 5 years ago, it's going to come out. He's saying Eidos about something that's Negeya him. This is a classic Negeya Bedavar. You're going to have a big issue. So the Allah is, HaYodele Eidos B'shtar Achel Tipa B'Yerusha, Hu Eini Yachal L'Kayim. Right now, he can't be Mekayim Tzaviyot. Abachem Yechayim L'Kayim Tzaviyot. Why can't he be Mekayim? It's very similar to the previous case. In the previous case, he was a Gazlan. In this case, he's a Negeya Bedavar. Because right now, how could I be Mekayim my own signature, which is going to be Negei Ami. At the time that I said Eidos, I wasn't a Negei Bedavar. There was no issue. But right now, I'm a Negei Bedavar, so I don't have to say Eidos, but if I want to be Mekayim, my own Chasima, which is one of the three forms of Kiyam Shtaris, then we're running back into issues of Negei Bedavar. So he cannot do it himself. Avalacherim, Yecholim lekayim sab yode. And what's the problem? The same kasha. Hash the iu loy mehem and achrini behem. But the Gemara says, "Oh my gosh, dumah halchen hamigun shochus sab yode bebezdin." We answer the first kasha. Why can't we answer the same kasha in the same way? Maybe when we say that others could be mekayim is chesamis, it doesn't mean they could walk into bezdin right now be mekayim. If bezdin already accepted testimony from two other people about his chasima at a time where he wasn't a gay bedover yet, at a time that he could have said his own edus, maybe they would have a right to take it out of their database and use it right now. So Gemara says that doesn't either work. Maybe this is the shvera halacha that came. Very similar. If someone said edus, somebody else, at a time that they weren't related, and then he ends up marrying his daughter, and now they're related. So right now, he wouldn't be able to say Eidos. Who ain't he made? The same thing. He can't be Mekayim his own Chasima now, because now he's a Kariv. But others, good, says the Gemara. Same Kasha. Who, Loi Mehem and Achrini Mehemni? If he wouldn't be believed to say Eidos about himself, does it make sense that others would be believed to say Eidos about him? Maybe say the same Teretz, and still here it's checkmate, because here the great Rav Nachman said that it's going to be true that others will be believed to say Eidos to be Mekayim is Chasima Afal Pi Shaloi Huchsik Sav Yodam Bebezdin. So this perhaps is the very Shver Halacha. So again, Shochu Mitam, they sent the Halacha and the comment was Vizui Shekosha Bedin Amamas. And we're trying to figure out what this halacha might have been. We had a few different possibilities, but every possibility we had wasn't so shver. So it wasn't v'zui shekasha b'dinei momenes, because there was a way to interpret the halacha where maybe it's a chiddush, maybe it's something that we need to figure out, understand, spend some time. But v'zui shekasha b'dinei momenes, nothing was so terribly shver. But the Gemara says, maybe this is it. Maybe I just found it. A halacha that says that if somebody said edus, at the time that he said edus, he was a kosher eid. Later something happened that makes him apostolate. I mean, it doesn't impact the original Eidos, but meaning right now he wouldn't be able to say Eidos, such as at the time he wasn't a Karev, and now he married this person, he said Eidos about his daughter, so right now he is a Karev. He can't be Mekayim his own Chasima, but if others want to be Mekayim his Chasima, they can't. And the Gemara thinks that Zuhi Shakash of Dini Momenes, that's such a, it's like the most Shver Halacha, right? We're coming to an end of the three bavas. This is like the shversta halacha. This is just so impossible to understand. Why? Because how is it possible that he can't be Mekayim his own chasima, but others would be able to be Mekayim his chasima? You can't tell me the teretz that the Gemara said for the two previous cases, because Rav Nachman already knocked that out. But the Gemara says, well, my kusha, I don't understand this kasha either. Dilma gzeiris melechi. It could be this soit that a karev is posaleidos really has nothing to do with svara. Meaning, if Karev is postulated is based on Svara, so the Gemara says, then this is a contradiction that I can't live with. But who said that a Karev that's postulated is postulated Machma Svara? I don't think it has anything to do with Svara. The reason a Karev is postulated, meaning the reason you can't say Eidos about your Shver, is Gzeris HaMelechi, it's Gzeris HaKosov. The Iu Loi Mehemin, Vachri Mehemni, V'lami Shun Demeshaken. And if that's the case, then again, you have to understand Poshim Shan and this Gemara, this shouldn't be an issue. This is only an issue if we're dealing with Svara. But if the reason that this person can't be Mekayim is on Chasima, is in this case, because it's Negei Karev, is based on a prostate Gzeiris HaKosov, but it's not rooted in Svara, then this contradiction doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me that he can't be Mekayim is on Chasima, but others would be able to be Mekayim is on Chasima. But the Gemara said, how do I know that a Karev is Pasal Eidos? Not because we don't trust him, but rather because of Gzeres HaKosov, and this Gemara is tucked away, a very famous Gemara, the Eloi Tei Mahachi, Moshe V'Haran L'Chei Sanon, Mishum D'Loi Mehemniu, Moshe V'Haran will be Apostles Ayedos. For their Korav, is it going to be because we don't trust him? El Gzeres HaMelech, Ushlo Yidu Lehem, Hachi Nami, Gzeres Melech, Ushlo Yedak Sav, Yodoi, L'Chei Sanoi. What is the Sholcho Mitah? What's this Halacha that was V'Zui Shekosha, B'Dinei Malmenes? El says, the Gemara, L'Oilam Kedamina Meikah. The halacha was what we started with, not the first attempt, because that we knocked that in a second, but the second attempt. There was a man who sold nechasim while his father was alive. Then he died. Then the grandfather died, and now the grandson wants to be moitzi mi'ad alakuches. He could. And we said, v'zui shekasha b'dinei mominus. Why? Because v'leim rulei, avucha mazmin v'at mapik. It'll make sense. Your whole schus is machmas your father. Your father sold it. So how in the world would you have an ability to go now, How in the world would you have an ability to go now with it? But the Gemara said, why is that shver? Why is it the zui shakasha b'dinei mominus? Dilma matziyah amar mikoich avu da'abakasino. When a grandson yashins, he's yashining from his father. Maybe he's yashining really from his grand. And the Gemara wrote a pasuk for it. Tachas avisecha yubanecha tishisemi l'sarim b'chal ha'aretz. Zok the Gemara, you have to say, in order to understand what this shalkul mitam was, that lo'olam k'darmi d'meikara, u'dikokasha l'cha tachas avisecha yubanecha, wasn't that a raya that the grandson yashins directly from his grandfather? And if he yashins directly from his grandfather, then there's nothing so shver with this halacha. No, ahu b'brocha k'siv. Maybe that's talking about brocha. Meaning, maybe that's not talking about how seder not, it's not a chesha mishpat. Dig a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Mem Hei. It's a bracha that the Zayda will see Ein Eklach. Whatever exactly the point of that pasuk is, but maybe we're not discussing the lumdus of mishmush, not mishmush, of how Seder Nachlus goes. Yerusha Mekaver, but the Gemara says Mi Matzis Hamir Bracha Ksiv Avol Inyan Din Aloy. Is it possible to say that the way the Yerusha works really is that the grandson yashins from his father who gets it from his father, and it's not that he goes directly from his Zayda Vatanya, it's really Vatanan. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah said that if there was a man in a house together with his father, they both died. And the question is, who died first? Did the father die first, or did the son die first? The Yerusha of Vatanying that Ben Meis Rishon, V'achakach Meis Ha'av. U'Bal Chayv, why what did the Bal Chayv say? Ha'av Meis Rishon, V'achakach Meis Ha'ben. That the father died first, and then the son died first. Why did they want the father to die first? Because if the father died first, and the son Yashin, the father, it comes out now he has Nechassin. If he has Nechassin, the Bal Chayv has from where to be Goyfa. What's the kasha? My love, Yorshei Ha'av B'ni. When we talk about the Yorshei Ha'av, we're talking about the sons. And when the Mishnah talks about Mayrishav, it means Achid. So let's just talk about one. Yorshei Ha'av B'ni. There's the Yorshei Ha'av, and there's the Yorshei Ha'ben. There was a father, this is not easy. There's a father and a son, they're both in a house. The house falls down, the father and the son both die. The Shaila is who died first. The Yorshei Ha'av are saying that the son died first. The Yorshei HaBen are saying that the father died first. So the Shaila is, who died first, right? That's the question. The Gemara is timing that maybe in this case, the Yorshei HaBen and the Yorshei are really the same person. Because perhaps the Yorshei that we're discussing over here was the grandson. And Manavshach, the grandson, is going to be the one that's going to end up getting it. The Shaila just is, who died first? But at the end of the day, whether the Zayda died first or whether the son died first, they're the only game in town. They're the ones that are going to end up yashning. So what's the kash of Esau? G'day techle matzi yom v'kei chavu da'abaka asino. Dechi ksiv tachas avisach yubonecho. Bebrocho ksiv. Ki mesa ben v'acha kach mesa. Of my havi. What difference does it make, says the Gemara, who died first? If at the end of the day, the yarshim are the grandsons, and Memonofshach, the way a grandson yarshins his grandfather is he gets it from his father who got it from his father. So whether the Zayda died first, so then the father yarshined it to give it to the grandson, or whether the father died first, at the end of the day, the grandson is getting it from his father. So that Memonofshach, the father is going to end up having the nechassim, and they'll be from where the Bal Chayv should be able to be Goyva. I hope this makes sense. Says the Gemara, does to me. What difference does it make who died first? Namel hu bal choiv, Yerushas avim, shakilna mamonavshach. I have a right to take it because the way a grandson always yarshins his grandfather is through his father. So at some point, the father is for sure getting it. Right, the father was the one who died without chayvus. The Zayda didn't have chayvus. The grandson doesn't have chayvus. The father had chayvus. If the father takes possession of these nechassim for 1 second, now the Bal Chayv can pounce. Now the Bal Chayv can say, it's mine. And even though the father's not alive anymore, you can be going from nechassim mishubadim, the yarshim adam mishubadim, they have a right to go ahead and take it. Some of the raid that we talked about this week. And the Gemara thought that whether or not the father ever got it depends on was he alive at the time that the Zayda died or not. Meaning, if the Zayda died first, then the father got it. If the Zayda died Second, then the father never got it. But if you tell me that the way Yerushas Azeda works is always through the father, then at some point the father's getting it anyways. So Marav Shechta Bal Chayv is always going to have a schus to be able to go take it. Elamai, what do you see from here? That you get it directly from the grandfather. So don't tell me that that pasuk over there in Tehillim, Tachas Avisach Yubanach, Tishazem, Luzon, B'chol Ha'aretz, means that bebracha, but it's not the lumdus of how Yerusha works. It's very much the lumdus of the way Yerusha works. Either way, says the Gemara, that it's only a raya if you assume that who's the Yarshim over here in this Mishnah? It's the grandson. So then you have a kasha, Mamanav Shach, the father's taking possession. Loi, Yarshayov, Achiv. Over here, the Yarshim were somebody else. It was the brothers. It's not the Enochals. There's no Sheiches to a grandson Yarshin and his grandfather. If this is a grandson Yarshin and his grandfather, maybe it would be good kasha. But that's not what's going on over here. The Yarshim over here were actually brothers. That's who the Yarshay of is. And Mayrisha Vahid Avuah. And Melar has nothing to do with this.
Dr. Gemara Vaiter, Bomin Emir Rav Sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes the following question. Bain, Maushe Yirish es imoy bakever, Lahanchel, Laachem Minoav. In the event that a child dies during the lifetime of his mother, when his mother then dies, do we say that the child yarshins from his mother while he's bekever, so that now his own yarshim can get that yerusha or not? Meaning, the previous Gemara had mentioned that a ben yarshins his father bekever. The question is, what about as it relates to a mother? Does he yarshin his mother while the ben himself is bekever or not? Amra lehu Rav Sheshes tenisur. Rav Sheshes said, I could bring you a raya from a braisa. The braisa says, ha'of she nishba, father was taken into captivity. Umeis b'nai b'medina. His son was not taken into captivity. He was b'medina. The father died in captivity, and the son died in Medina. Or if his son was taken into captivity, his father was in the Medina, and again, they both died, and it was a Shiloh who died first. So did the father die first, or did the son die first? Now, there's a big nafkamina. If the father died first, then the son yarshin the father. Now that the son died, his yarshim are going to get the entire Yerusha. If, however, the son died first, then the father yarshin the son. Now it's the yarshim of the father that are going to end up getting the Yerusha. So the Braisa says, Yarshay ha'av, Yarshay ha'ben yachloiku. The yarshim of the av and the yarshim of the son, they divide the Yerusha simply because we don't know who's entitled to it. It's a suffix mammon, and the halacha is yachloiku. So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, let's try to understand this Braisa. What is the case? Are you supposed to understand the Braisa? So, visa state, the way the Bryce is actually written, Hain Ninu Yarshi of, the Hain Ninu Yarshi Aben. Who are these two sets of Yarshim? They're the same people. Because just by doing Yeshnoichlin and Misha Mace math, if a father and a son both die and they're not around, the Yarshim are going to be the same if they're coming Mikayach the son or if they're coming Mikayach the father. Elulav Hachikama. The only way you can understand the Braisa is if you do an edit, not Kidiktani. What was the case? Av Shenishba Umeis Ben Benoi Bamedina. A father was taken into captivity and his Ben Bita, his daughter's son, was not taken into captivity and died by Medina. So again, the father died in captivity and the father's daughter's son died by Medina. Uben shenishba, or if the son was taken into captivity, umeis avi imay by Medina, and the Zeda, the son's mother's father, was by Medina. And again, they both died. And we don't know who died first. So again, the case is not where a father and a son both died and we don't know who died first, but the case is where a father and a grandchild died, and not just any grandchild, it's a maternal grandchild or maternal grandfather. And we don't know who died first. It's there that the Braisa said, that the Yarshim of the father and the Yarshim of the son are going to have to divide the Yerusha. Why? Because over here, the Yarshim of and the Yarshim Ben, the Yarshim of the Zayda and the Yarshim of the grandchild, are not the same person. And the reason they're not the same person is because when it comes to Yerusha, Mishpachas Av Kruya Mishpacha, and Mishpachas Eim and Kruya Mishpacha. So you have to know who died first. If it's the Zayda that died first, so that means that the Enochal would Yarshin the Zayda. Now when he died, it's his Yarshim in Ha'av that are going to Yarshin him. If the Enochal died first, then the Zeda Yarshin the Enochal. And then when the Zeda dies, it's his Yarshim min Ha'av that are going to Yarshin him. And it's regarding that case that the Braisa said that the Halacha is going to be Yachalikun. Now, the Im Isa said, Rav Sheshes, if you're going to tell me that what? That a son Yarshins his mother, even when he's not alive, to be manchel to his own yorshin? Nei, nami the ben beis bereisha. Then I don't understand this shayla over here. Because even if we're going to assume that it's the son that died first, meaning it's that enikel that died first, abalirse la'avua di ime bekivrei. When the zeda died, the son l'chayra yarshined the zeda's chelik through his mother, even though he was bekever. And if that's the case, so then either way, it's his yarshim that are going to get it. So whether it's the Zeda that died first or whether it's the Enochel that died first, the Enochel is going to end up getting it, and it's the Enochel's yarshim that are going to get it. It's not the Zeda's yarshim that are going to get it. So what's the Sufik moment over here? Why is the Halacha Yachloiku Memonavshach, he should get it? Ela Laf Shmamida, from the fact that the Brisa says that the Halacha is going to be a Yachloiku. What do you see from here? Ein haben yoyrish es imay bekever lahanchel la'achem in ha'av, that the son cannot yarshin his mother while he's bekever. Therefore, you have a suffix. And that's why the Halacha is going to be Yachloiku. So Rav Sheshes was posed with this question. Could a son yarshin his mother while he's bekever? He said to Nisua, I have a raya. Omele Rav Acha ben Yumi la'abai. Rav Acha ben Yumi told Abai, afen anami tenina. I have a raya from a Mishnah as well. One of the Mishnayos that we had earlier in Perek Mishnayos. What did the Mishnah say? Nafal Abayis Olaval Imoy. In the event that a house fell and the house killed a person and his mother, Eilu ve'eilu moedim she'achloiku. Sai b'shame and sai b'yisul la'moedu. That the Halacha is going to be achloiku. Even though b'shame b'yisul argued in a whole bunch of similar cases, but as it relates to this case, Eilu ve'eilu moedim, they're both going to agree that the yarshim of the son and the yarshim of the mother are going to divide the Yerusha. Now, the Im Isa said, Rav Acher Bar Min Yumi Tabayo, if you're going to tell me that a son yarshins his mother, bekever, to be manchel to his own yarshim, nei, nami de ben beis bereisha, I don't understand the halacha of the Mishnah. Even if we're going to assume that it's the son that died first. But when the mother dies, lirsei li'ima bekevre, the son, while he's in his kever, should yarshin his mother, v'lirsinu lachem yavua, and he should be meirishit to his brothers from his father, meaning to whoever his yarshim are. And from the fact that you see that that's not the case, that halach is yachloiku, zoysoymeres, that in the event that the son dies first, that means the son does not yarshin, and it's the yarshin you aim that yarshin it, oh, must be. So we have a raya from a braisa, an afana, nami tanina from a mishnah, that the son does not yarshin his mother bekever. So his father, yeah, but the mother not. Says the mother, time of my, what's taka the reason that the son does not yarshin his mother bekever? Amar Abaya, Abaya said, nemro siba beben. It says the word siba with regards to Yerusha Saben. It says, v'loi sisoiv nachla livnei Yisrael mi mata el mata. Now this is talking about a son that is yarshining his mother, right? One of the themes in Yeshnoich L'Misha Meis is that through Yerusha Sabas and through a son yarshining his mother, it's possible that Yerusha is going to transfer from one shevet to another shevet. So in a perfect world, the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua ben Nun divided the land, whatever every shevet got would remain that way, ad bias kol tzedek. But through intermarriage between Shvatim, it was possible for land to transfer. And that's why in the times of the Torah, there was a lav. It was a temporary lav. But the point is, there was such an inyan that this was not okay. Now, how would that play itself out? There are really two ways for it to play itself out. One way is where a woman gets married. She has nechasim because she yarshined her father. And now she marries someone from another shevet. She dies. Her son yarshins. Her son goes after the shevet of the father, since he's from a different shevet. Or her husband yarshins. It's through Yerusha Sabal, and as a result, it's going to end up transferring to a different shevet. So there's two ways where it can end up transferring to a different shevet. And there's two psukim in the Torah that mention this inyan. It says siba beben v'loy sisoiv nachlo livnei Yisrael mimata omato v'nemer siba bebal. And it says siba bebal. It says v'loy sisoiv nachlo mimata lemata acher. Either way, masi b'amur b'bal in about yarshin sich the bekever. Just like as it relates to the husband doesn't yarshin his wife bekever. Af si b'amur b'ben. So too, when it comes to the Indian of siba b'ben, ena ben yarshin sich bekever lahanchel la'achim min ha'av. So you want to know what the makar is? It says siba b'ben. It says siba b'bal. Just like siba b'bal in about yarish es ishle bekever, so too siba b'ben ein haben yarish es imoy bekever lahanchel la'achim min ha'av. Now what it means, Siba bebal in a bal yerush esish bekever. That's machlokes rishonim. The Rashbam says that what it means is the halacha that a bal is only yerush what his wife physically had, but anything that she gets after she died, al zeh nemar in a bal yerush piroy kibem muchzik. If that's the case, the in habal yerush esish bekever is not the same as what we're talking about, right? This means a husband that's alive can't yarshin something that his wife got while she was bekever. We're talking about now a son who himself is bekever. Could he yarshin his mother when his mother dies? But other Rishonim, Tosfos says that really what the Gemara means is ain't about yarshin such a bekever in the same vein of our sugya. Because a husband for sure doesn't yarshin his wife after he died. And as a result, so too, ein ben yerushas imay bekever lahanchel la'achem minov. Either way, Perek Misha Meis concludes on a whole different note the shaychus between what we've been talking about. The way the Perek is going to end is the fact that we're talking about Safek Mamon. If this Gemara that we're about to learn sounds familiar, it's because we had it already. It's actually one of the big Gemaras in Perek Cheskas Habatim. In fact, the Rashbam says, last line of Rashbam, Hakol pirashnu b'cheskas habatim b'roishoy v'agav groro demayri masnisim b'nechasim b'cheskason. Different Safek Mamons, nokat lehach. The Rashbam is not mefarish it. We will do what we do. There was a person that told his friend, I'm going to sell you all the nechasim of Bar Sisan. So Bar Sisan was a person who had sold his nechasim to this yid. So this yid owned the estate of Bar Sisan. And now he said, I'm going to go sell it to somebody else. Second, Ruvain owns Nichsi de Bar Sisan, he's selling it to Shimon. He had a piece of property that he used to refer to as the Bay Bar Sisan. Amalei, when it came time to the closing, so the Meicher tells the Koina, Halav the Bebar Sisani, that this land, even though I call it the Bebar Sisani, it's not from that estate. Meaning, when I told you I'm selling you Nichsid Bebar Sisani, I didn't mean to sell it to you. The Kruye Yehuda Mekari the Bebar Sisani. I don't call it Nichsid Bebar Sisani, but it's not really Bar Sisani. The guy says, I know what you're talking about. I made up, I'm buying all Nichsid Bebar Sisani. This is called Nichsid Bebar Sisani. I'm entitled to it. Also, the Kamid Rav Nachman. They went to Rav Nachman. Oikmi Beyodol Erkech. Nachman said, listen, this guy bought Nechsid B'Bar Sisan. It's called Nechsid B'Bar Sisan. Like, yeah, get it. Only Rav the Rav Nachman. Rav told Rav Nachman, Dina Hachi, does this make sense? Right now, the Moicher is the Muchzik, and as a result, the Moicher is going to keep it. So Rav Nachman said, give it to the Lekeach. Sort of makes sense. Rav said, I hear, but it's a Safik moment at the end of the day. And I'm waiting to make a way over. I talked to him about Rami, the Rav, Adarava, with Rav Nachman, Adarav Nachman. There seemed to be a contradiction, a stira between this Rav and another Rav, this Rav Nachman and another Rav Nachman. Who the Chavi, there was a person that told his friend, my boy is by base, what are you doing in my house? This is Cheskes Habatim 101. Amalei, so he told him, Minoch Zvinta, Va'och L'Shnei Chazaka. I know this was your house, but now it's mine. I bought it from you. In fact, I have a Cheskes Gimel Shonim. Amalei, so he told him, no, you don't. Because I know Bishchuni Gavoy Yavoy. I was living in one of the Chadorim Apnimiyim of this bias. And I used to walk out, and I used to see you there, and you saw me there, and I was mishtamish in this bias with you. I didn't think I had to be moichel, because I'm living there with you. Maybe that constitutes machal, but the point is that you didn't have a proper chazal. So you didn't have a shtar, but he had a cheskes gimel shonim. But the moicher was tining to this lekeach that ano Bishchuni Gavoy Yavoy. And you never really bought it from me, meaning you're not really a lekeach, and this is something that's supposed to be mine. Also, the comment to Rav Nachman. They brought the shout out to Rav Nachman. Amalei, Rav Nachman told the machzik, this guy who claims that he bought the property, who has the cheskes gimel shonim, is little bror achilasach. Prove that you have a reign of chazaka. You have to prove you have a real chazaka. Prove that it wasn't anav b'shchuni gavoy avoy, and then I'm going to give it to you. Amalei, Rav Nachman, Rav told Rav Nachman, Dina Hachi, does that make sense? Hamoitzi mechaveri olivaraya. He's the muchzik in it right now. He's been living there for the last 3 years. So if he's the muchzik, the other guy's coming with a taina, anav b'shchuni gavoy avoy, mechetesi, olav lavi aray. Says the Gemara, these two stories, even though they're not the same story, abakasha derava derava, with Rav Nachman adrachman, at first glance it would seem to be a stira between the two Ravas and a stira between the two Rav Nachmans. Now, why is that? So the reason is as follows. Because in the first story, what did Rava paskin? Rava said, you leave it by the Moicher, right? Rava says, the Moicher said, I'll sell Nichsi de Bar Sisan. And he's tiny right now that this property is maybe not Nichsi de Bar Sisan. You want it. Meaning, who keeps it? It's the Moicher that keeps it. What did Rava paskin in the second story? You leave it by the Machsek. Right? The machzik's the one that's been living there. The machzik is the lekeach. Kefi tanosoi. He's the lekeach. So in the first ma'aser, Rava says moicher, and the second ma'aser, Rava says lekeach. And the Rav Nachman is in the reverse, because in the first story, what did Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman said, ukma biyada the lekeach. He said, mefurish, you give it to the lekeach. And in the second ma'aser, what did Rav Nachman say? Zil bror achilasach. You don't leave it by the machzik. You don't leave it by the lekeach. You give it by, leave it by the markama, the proverbial moicher. So the Gemara says, nah. I mean, if you want to say moicher, like lekeach, you have a stira, but is this the way you analyze two Bava Basra de Gemaises, the Rava, the Rava Leikasha. The steer between Rava is not kind steer, Hacham Moicher Koib, and Nixay Hassel Kech Koib, and Nixay. Read the words of Rava. Rava's not Kasha the Rava. It's even hard to read the Gemara. Kasha the Rava, it's the same Rava. Dina Hachi, Hamoitze Mechabei Olivaraya. Dina Hachi, Hamoitze Mech, it's the same word. It's forbidden. In both cases, he says, you leave it by the Mochsek. In one case, the Moicha was the Mochsek. In the other case, the Machsek, the Lekech was the Mochsek. But it's the same Rabbi, leave it by Lekech. Rav Nachman, also Lekasha, Hacha over here, because Rav Nachman held that if you think of it logically, the cases are different. In the case of Bar Sisan, keep it on the Bay Bar Sisan, Umikari the Bay Bar Sisan. Guy said, I'll sell you all Nichsid the Bay Bar Sisan. And this property is called Nichsid the Bay Bar Sisan. So if you want to tell me now this is not really Bar Sisan, Alech Alavi Araya, what Shaykhis? Which is why Rav Nachman, by the way, wasn't a spot from Rav's Taina, Moitze Mechabrei Alvaraya. Because a Moisra Chavav Araya is when there's like a real Sophic. Over here there's an Umdana that this guy's probably saying the truth. So even though you're the Mukhsik, you have to prove it. Hasam over there, however, as it relates to the case of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, well, Yehei Ela Denokit Shtar. What's this guy saying? I have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Cheskas Gimel Shanim, right, when you learn Cheskas about them, you know, works like a Shtar. Achdi Shtarcha, I have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Noniach, it's a shtar. The best rye you could have that it's yours. Milo yamrinu lekayim shtarcha v'kum v'nechsi. Even if you have a shtar, there's a parasha called kim shtars. Prove the shtar is a good shtar. So here too, you have to prove your chazaka. So what do you mean, hamoitze mechaveri olva raya? What makes you the muchzik? This guy is the muchzik. He's the marakama, right? Chazak sabat, the 101. Elamai, you have a chazaka. So if you can prove you have a chazaka, you have a chazaka. Mechatesa, you have a chazaka. And just like if you had a shtar, you would have to do kim shtars. So all I said was zil brar achilosach. I didn't say much more than that. Rav Nachman knows Hamoitz Mechavei Olvaraya. In both cases, he had Gishmak as far as why the halacha should be different. He was consistent in that he had these interesting svaras in both cases. Rav is consistent. At the end of the day, Hamoitz Mechavei Olvaraya always prevails. But this has nothing to do with Keachs, has nothing to do with Meicher. There's no Kasha the Rava, the Rava, no Kasha the Rav Nachman. And with this, Cheskes Habatim dig a snippet, we conclude Perek Misha Meis. Hadron Halach Mishameis. And we are going to peek out a little red. So we're literally coming to a close on a 50 blot sugya of Perek Yeshnoich, bigger than many Mesachdas and Chas. Perek Yeshnoichlin and Perek Mishameis, which of course discussed the halachas of Nachlois, the halachas of Shchibmera. So there's a few loose ends that we need to speak out as far as red goes. So let's just go through a few auras. So number one, we had earlier in the week, we had an idea that we said we'd get back to, and that is mitzvah ala yisoymim lefroya choivas avim. That there's an obligation that yisoymim have to pay the choiv of avim. And the Gemara said that it could be that true even for a milva al peh. So even though a milva al peh, you can't be goiva from the chasim ishubadim, so technically the malva would not have any right mitzad gidrei choshen mishpat to be able to go over to the yisoymim and try to collect the money that their father owed him, no more than this malva would have a right to go to the lekuchos to collect, because the yarshim is already one step removed, and the only schus from a chayshim mishpat standpoint that you would have to go collect from the yarshim would be if there's a shibud, and there's no shibud when we're talking about a bovapa. But there's a new halacha, a mitzvah ala yesoimim lefroya chayves avim, and as we'll see in a moment, this mitzvah goes very much to the core of some of the sugyas of Perek Yeshnoichlin. This Gemara, Mitzvah Yisoymen, Lefroya Chayves Avim, is mentioned in Masechtas Ksubis, Dav Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis as well. And Rashi over there, Masechtas Ksubis, says that the reason the Yisoymen have a mitzvah to pay up their father's Chayves is Mishum Kvoid Avim. The reason is, Al Tzkovit, Kabed Asavicha, Vesimecha, the mitzvah of Kovid, of Kibud, is what obligates the Yisoymim to pay up their father's chayv. Says Rashi, Ella, however, she'in lebezin lekoyfen al kach. Bezin, however, wouldn't have a right to force the Yisoymim to pay this chayv. The lav mitzvah sasei mefuresh asi. Because although it's a mitzvah, it's not a mefuresh apostling in the Torah. Kesukah or kelulav, ella mitzvah ba'alma midirabanan. Azizak Rashi. Beautiful Rashi. So says Rashi, mitzvah liyisoyim lefroi chayves avim, that's mitzad kibud of ein. But says Rashi, if it's mitzad kibud of ein, you could argue that maybe Bezdin would have a right to force this person to be mekayim this mitzvah, just like you find by sukkah and lulav. Says Rashi, no. You know why? Because it's not a mitzvah sasei mefureshes kisukah kelulav, el a mitzvah ba'alma midrabanan. It's a mitzvah ba'alma midrabanan. It's for that reason we wouldn't have a right to force. Tosfos in Masechtas Ksubis, five blot earlier, on daf pei vav Ben Aleph brings this Rashi, and Tosfos says, I don't agree with Rashi's Yisoid. Rashi says that the Rabbanon don't have a right to force a person to be Mekayim a mitzvah, the Rabbanon, the Einira, the Ashkechon, the Koifim, the mitzvah, the Rabbanon. You find that Bezin does have right, and even though the Gemara's cases are always mitzvah, the Raiso, Sukkah, Lulav, but you find that Bezin would force a person even to be Mekayim a mitzvah, the Rabbanon. Kigoin, what's Tosfos' example? Mitzvah, Lekayim, Devri Ames. So you see, there's an idea of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames that Bezdin has a right to force. Zok Tosfos, is that a mitzvah d'oraisa? Is that a posik that's mifureshesi kesukah kalulav? Absolutely not. It's no different than mitzvah l'yisrael l'freya chayv avim. And if you find that Bezdin can force for that, they can force for this. In other words, you walk away from here with a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Then when you find this idea that you could be koifa a person to be mekayim a mitzvah, if a person says sukkah sheni yoyse lulav sheni noitel bezin is makin va'unchin Tosfos and Nazir, we've spoken out a lot of rate from this from Shulam David Zolzayin Gesunden Stark with regards to the gedarim of this din kfiya. Is it Makas Mardos? Could they give even more than 39 malkas? There's a Tosfos somewhere that has a suffix about that, but the bottom line is that we have a machloikis, Rashi, and Tosfos. Is it only true for mitzvahs d'oraisa, or would it be true for a mitzvah d'rabbanan as well? But the emes is another chiddush in this Rashi. Rashi's saying that mitzvah l'yisrael l'freya chayv avim, despite the fact that the driver of this mitzvah is kovod avim, still it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not a asay that's mifuresh as kesukah kululah. And l'chura, at first glance, Rashi's very tamuah. Because we know that the mitzvah that a child has to honor his father is true while his father's alive, and it's true after his father dies as well. The Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin, Mechabdei Bechayev, and Mechabdei Lachamoyse. A person has an obligation to be Mechabdei his father even after his father dies. So Avivite Rashi is telling me that mitzvah Yisrael Melefrei Chayv Aviyah is Mishum Kvoy Daviyah. The wise Rashi is saying that it's not an Aseh Mefureshes. L'chayr, it is an Aseh Mefureshes. It's the mitzvah of Kabbalah Savich of Esimach. And the truth is, I looked around, and the Poskim all say that the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Ein, of La'acha Moshe, is a mitzvah de'iraisa, just like it is when a father's alive. So it's not the pshat that Rashi maybe holds that Mechab de La'acha Moshe is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That would be a very big chiddush. Because at first glance, there doesn't seem to be a shita like that. Everyone seems to say that the mitzvah of Mechab de La'acha Moshe is the same mitzvah de'iraisa that a person has while his father's alive. So l'chura, there's two chiddushim in Rashi. Chiddush number one, Rashi saying that on a mitzvah the rabbanon there's no makim va'inshin. Tosfos already addressed that. That's Tosfos kasha k'subas pei vavim and aleph. But there's another chiddush that the poskim don't discuss, and that is Rashi seems to be saying that the mechabdoi la'acha moisoi is a mitzvah the rabbanon. L'chura, kabed of tzavicha v'asimecha is a mitzvah dei raisa. It is an asei mefuresh as kesukah kelulav. And even though it's la'acha moisoi, the poskim all seem to be of the opinion that la'acha moisoi is going to be a mitzvah dei raisa. So what's pasha pshad in this Rashi? So just tell you, behektim, a famous tshuva from Rav Kiveger. So there's one chelik of this tshuva that's well known. When you learn the sugyas of Kibbutz of Ein, you go through this tshuva from Rav Kiveger. It's Shiloh's tshuva from Rav Kiveger, Simen Samaches. And the Shiloh that was sent to Rav Kiveger was, there was a person, both his parents died, and both his parents left a will. They both left a tzava. But the two tzavas contradicted each other. So his mother wrote in his will that he should do kacha, and his father wrote in his will that he should do something else. And the Shaila was, what's he supposed to do? Who should he listen to? Now, at first glance, the Shaila told Rabbi Kiveg, I would think I'm supposed to listen to my father, because that's Kibbutz of Ein 101. If your mother tells you one thing and your father tells you something else, of course he's supposed to listen to your father. Bezok Rabbi Kiveg, hine hadover poshut. It's poshut that's not a taina. Why? Because what's the reason that when your mother tells you one thing, your father tells you something else, you listen to your father, not your mother? The shneim sh, because each, the mother is obligated to listen to your father, just like you're obligated to listen to your father. He supersedes. But over here, your mother's not alive anymore. So there's no way that your mother right now has an obligation to listen to your father. So the whole svar of is not applicable. So if it's not applicable, it doesn't make any sense to have that svar. And says Rabbi Kiveger, if you want a sushtal to that, if you need precedence, what happens if someone has parents that are divorced and the mother says one thing and the father says something else? That's a mafurish gemara. The gemara says in that case, there is no halacha that you listen to your father over your mother. Because being that the parents are divorced, she has no obligation to listen to her husband. She's not married to him anymore. So there's no ata v'imecha chayovim b'chvoidai. So based on that, you're not going to have the ata v'imecha chayovim b'chvoidai as well. But then Rabbi Kiveger digresses towards the end of the tshuva and he says, the emes is
If a parent leaves a tzava, does a child have an obligation to fulfill what it says in the tzava, mitzad the halacha of kibud avim? Or maybe not. Kveges says, I'm not sure. Tzorich iyun ledina. Says, I'm not sure. I don't know. Kveges a tzorich iyun. He's not sure whether or not a child even has an obligation to fulfill a tzava. Now, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, yeah, there's nothing to talk about. Kveges learned yesh noich l'anamish ames also. He knows these sugyas. But he wants to know mitzad kibud avim. Is there a din kibud avim to fulfill a tzava? Or not. And Kiveg says the reason he's mesopic is because Be'emes, he's seen stiras in whether or not a child has an obligation to honor his father after his father dies. On the one hand, it's a gemara mefereshes. Mechabde b'chayev or mechabde b'mais. Pasha. That's the way it's supposed to be. But Zok of Kiveg, there's another halacha. We know kabed asivecha. That a person has an obligation to honor his older brother. Stating that, Ramban says that if a person's father dies, he no longer has an obligation to honor his older brother. What does the father dying have to do with now you not having an obligation to honor your older brother? Says the Ramban, because really there's no mitzvah to honor your older brother. You have a chiyuv covet to your older brother. It works like mishmush, like today's daf. The way it works is that you have an obligation to honor your father. A father gets covet when his bechor gets covet. So memela, when you honor your older brother, you're honoring your father. Zok Ramban, that only makes sense if your father's alive. But if your father's not alive anymore, then what's the point in honoring Achich HaGol? Frank Rab Kiveger, what do you mean? Mechavde Mechayv, Mechavde Lachamaisai. So it's true the father's not alive. That doesn't mean, however, that there's no obligation to be Mechavde. And if there's an idea that when you're Mechavde Achich HaGol, your father's getting covered, then what difference does it make if the father's alive or if the father's not alive? Zok Rab Kiveger, Ulezet Tzorech Loimar Lechalik. You have to say a chilek. There's two different types of covered that will manifest itself in a nafkamina, whether you do have a chiyuv covered lachamoisai or you don't have a chiyuv lachamoisai. The Indian says, Rabbi Kiveger, shehu covered gedula be'atzmusai, something that's inherently covered. Kegoin loimer abamari, the bozem agbia kvoit aviv, zehu shayach gam lachamisa. That's something that you have even lachamisa. Avol kibud lasis nachas ruach la'aviv. But a covered, where it's not something that's inherently covet, but it's something that your father enjoyed, he had a nah from. So memela, you had an obligation to do it for him while he was alive. Right, if you give your father a cup of coffee, you're being meroimim kvaydoi shalavicha because you made him a coffee? No, you're making him feel good. You're giving him an achas ruach. And covet is mechayiv you to do that, to give your father an achas ruach to the extent that that's something that you're able to do. But it's not something that Reb Kiveger calls covet v'gedula be'atzmusai. So that, says Reb Kiveger, doesn't make sense you should have lacha moisai. Because you're going to make your father a coffee if he's not alive, he's not going to have an achas ruach from it. So something that's covet v'gedula be'atzmusai, again, I'm just going to work with Reb Kiveger's lashon, that you have even lacha moisai. But something that falls into the realm of lasis nachas ruach la'aviv, that's something that doesn't make any sense that you should have lacha moisai. So Zok Reb Kiveger, avada there's an idea of mechavde lacha moisai. But it's only for covet, that's covet v'gdula b'atzmusai. As it relates to being mechabed your older brother, that is not a covet be'etzim. The father is not be'etzim b'chubet. And nisroimim, when you give covet to his older brother, it's just that your father enjoys it. It's no different than being machiloi, mashkeyo. You're giving him nachas ruach. You're going to be give covet to his older son. But being that it's something that's related to nachas ruach, it's something that has no shaychas to acham oisai. Says Rabbi Kiveger, what about tzava? Where does tzava fall in? When you honor your father's dying wishes, is that an idea of covet be'etzin, or is it not covet be'etzin? And Rabbi Kiveger is not sure. He goes back and forth. He says, I would think my muscha rishon would be, it's more of an nachas ruach. You listen to your father. I ask you to do something, you listen, you're giving him an achas ruach. And that's why kabbat asavicha vesim mecha obligates you to do that. But he says he's mesupik. He's not sure. Would you have a lachamisa? Would you have it? Not have a lachamisa. Zok there, I think I have one raya. You know what my raya is? Mitzvah yisayim lefraya chayv esaviyem. You see, there's an idea that yisayim have an obligation to be pereya chayv esaviyem. And what's the yisayim? Kibudav. It's lacha moisai. Must be mechabli lacha moisai. But what do you see from there then, says Rabbi Kiveger, that listening to a tzava, honoring a tzava is included in the type of kavod that you have la'acha moisay. If it's included in the type of kavod that you have la'acha moisay, that's why there'd be a mitzvah al yisoyim l'chfreya chayvasavir. Then Rabbi Kivega says one more ha'ara. Says, I have another issue with tzavas. Men, fathers leave tzavas, and they say they want the money to go here, I want the money to go there. It could be mitzvah kivet of the end, there'd be no obligation. Again, mitzvah can be ve'ames, divrei shchivmera, those sugyas. It's not what we're discussing now. Al tekibet of aim shabbat, says Rabbi Kiveger, and I'll tell you why. Because we know the person does not have to spend money to be mekayim the mitzvah of kibet of aim. It's mishal of. You don't have to spend your own money for kibet of aim. So listen to this chap. If a father leaves a tzava, the second the father dies, the son's yarshin it. Once they yarshin it, do they have an obligation now to take that money and give it, let's say, to somebody else? They're taking their own money. You have no obligation of kibet of aim when it comes to your own money. So Kiveger says mitzadeh too. He's mesopik. So basically, two svaras why maybe it's not so poshut that there'd be an obligation to honor its avot when it comes to chayshem mishpa, when it comes to dinei mamonis. Number one, mechabdei lachamoisai isn't always true. How do you know that? In fact, there's no chiyav achicha gadol lachamoisai. It's because any davar shel nachas ruach, you don't have to do lachamoisai, and it could be satisfying its avot falls into that realm. Number two, there's no chiyav to spend money when it comes to keeping up a name. Mishal av, yeah, machilu mashkiyoi. Take your father's food and feed it to him. That's your obligation. But your own food, it's not something you're, it's a beautiful thing to do, but it's not something you're obligated to do. Mitzah the mitzvah, keep it up a name. And once the father dies, the son's yarshin. If they yarshin, at this point, it's already mishal ahem. They're not going to perhaps have an obligation to go ahead and be mekayim keep it up. But coming back to unzere Rashi, we have a Rashi. Mitzvah liyesoimim lefrei chayvaz avir. Zok Rashi ain't koifin. Says, you know why? Because it's not an asay mefureshes. And if it's not an asay mefureshes, Rashi's shita, not like Tesis, Rashi's shita is that there's no din kfiya on a mitzvah derabbanan. You said, how could you tell me it's a mitzvah derabbanan? Rashi himself said that what's the yisoid of mitzvah, the yisoid of the frayel chayvas avim? It's kibud av. And all the poskim say that kibud av, even la'acha moisoid, is a chiyav deraisa. It's not a chiyav derabbanan. Yeshloi my two svaras. The two svaras from Kivegin in the Tshuva. Number one, there's a svara to say that maybe this is not a mechab de lacha moise de raisa. Maybe this is only a mechab de lacha moise de rabbana. Now, it's true, that's the halacha, and that's what Kivegin proved. That's what Kivegin proved, that there's a mechab de lacha moise. But it could be it being that it is more in the realm of nachas ruach. Maybe it's not a real mechab de lacha moise where it's a mitzvah de raisa, it'll only be a mitzvah de rabbana. Or the other svara that Kivegin was meyer in the Tshuva. And that is, you never have a chiv de raisa to go do it mishalach. You only have a chiv to spend your father's money. And over here, once you yarshin the money, if you're going to pay up chayvus avicha, you're spending your own money. You have no obligation to do them at their rights. So Zok Rashi, there is an idea mechab de lacha moise. That's true. And this idea has sheiches, but that's not the mitzvah de raisa. Why wouldn't this be a mitzvah de raisa? Two possibilities. The two svaras Rabbi Kivega discusses in his tshuva, I think would each be a tshuva, a reason, shtei tshuvas bedavar, perhaps, why you wouldn't have a regular mitzvah de raisa of mechabdoi la'achar moisoi, because it could be over here you wouldn't have the regular mitzvah of kibud avein. Either way, that is the first aura. The second aura is what we had yesterday's daf. The Gemara spoke about Reb Zeira, and the Gemara said that there was a shayla of nafal abayis olav al imoy, where the Tanakhama said Eilu Eilu Moedim Sheyachloiku. Rabbi Akiva said Moedah Nibazu Shanechasim Becheskasim. The Gemara said Becheskas Mi. Rav Eila said Becheskas Yar Sheein. Rav Zeira said Becheskas Yar Sheabet. He saw the Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira went from Bavel Teretz Yisrael. Come Bishitasi to Rav Eila. He realized that Rav Eila was right, and he got up and he remarked Shma Mina Avira the Eretz Yisrael Machkim. That when I was in Bavel, I thought Rav Eila was wrong, but now in Eretz Yisrael I see he's right, and you see from here the skula of Avira the Eretz Yisrael, that Avira the Eretz Yisrael is Machim. So two Ha'oras, and then we'll segue it into this week's parasha. That is, so why is it that Avira the Eretz Yisrael Machim? So there's many different pshatim that are given. Just to mention two, the Sfurna in the end of Parashas Noyach says that this psukim tucked away. Right, Parashas Lech Lecha begins, Vayeva Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha. Hashem comes to Avram, and he tells him, I want you to go up to Eretz Yisrael. But really, in the end of Parashas Noach, Avram Avinu was already on his way to Eretz Yisrael. The second to last passing of Parashas Noach. Vayikach Terech es Avram Benoi, Ve'es Loit Ben Haram, Ben Benoi. So he takes today's staff also. He takes his son Avram, he takes Ben Benoy, I'm just getting confused, getting traumatized reading this pasuk. His enikol, the esorai ka losoi, ishes Avram Benoy. Vayetsu itame urkazim lolachasai, they go to Eretz Canaan, or they're on their way to Eretz Canaan. Vayavoyu at Choron, they come to Choron, vayeshvu sham, vayuyim et terach hamishon masayim shana, vayomas terach b'choron. Then vayemisham al Avram, lechacho, I want you to leave Choron, I want you to go el ha'oretz asharekah. But you see in the end of Parshas Noach that Avram Avinu was already on his way to Eretz Canaan before the tzivoy, before vayem Hashem al Avram lechacho. By the way, the Ramban asks, Hashem tells Avram, go el ha'oretz asharekah, and he doesn't tell him where to go. What does Avram Avinu do? Punches into GPS, Eretz Canaan. How do you know to go to Eretz Yisrael? Hashem didn't tell him that. He told him Eretz Yisrael. So one pshat Ramban says is because he was already on his way to Eretz Canaan. So he doesn't know where he's supposed to go, but I was anyways going to Eretz Canaan. Let me continue to go to Eretz Canaan. But here's the question. Why did Avram Avinu want to go to Eretz Canaan before the Tzivoy? Bishloima after the Tzivoy. After it was neskalit to him what Eretz Canaan was. I get it. But they're already going to Eretz Canaan. Terach wants to go to Eretz Canaan. Maybe Avram Avinu. But Terach, why is he going to Eretz Canaan? Says the Sforno. The reason they were going to Eretz Canaan is because it was a land that was muchenes el gram hamailus b'muskalos. It was a place that a person could reach intellectual heights. V'hoysa ritzuya mikol ha'aratzos. It was the best of all the lands. Ka'amru eretz asher Hashem alekecha d'irishoysa. And the reason is because lehuzak avira b'geshem hamabel. Because the atmosphere in Eretz Canaan was not affected from the Mabel. Ka'avir shal ha'aratzos. Ka'amru, like the pasuk says in Yechezkel, le'gushma b'yoyim zam. V'kvar amru chazal. So it says the Sforno. Avir shel Eretz Yisrael machkim was true before Matan Torah. It's not even unique to Torah. It's a place that's muchenes el gram ha'mailos b'muskalos. It was an Eretz that was ritzuya mikol ha'aretzes. And you know when it began? Post Dar Mabel. So if you want to feel, you want to breathe ear of pre Dar Mabel, you go to Eretz Yisrael. Because that was an Eretz where like Gushma B'yoyim Zam, the Mabel never affected it, and that is the basis for Avir Eretz Yisrael Machin. There's a Mashal in Chedushi HaGadus where the Mashal says a different Shah. He says that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu Veschanan El Hashem, but because of the Chet of the Meimariva, and this week's parasha wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. But Tfilas Poyo Mechza says the Gemara, and Hashem allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to climb the mountain and look and gaze and stare at Eretz Yisrael. Says the Marsha that when Moshe Rabbeinu steered at Eretz Yisrael, he infused in it a kedusha that made it muchin lechachma, and that's why Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim. Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim is a result of the gaze of Moshe Rabbeinu. But either way, there's an idea of Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim. Now, who said Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim? Reb Zeira. Now, it's interesting because there are many Gemaras in Shas where Reb Zeira was very infatuated with Eretz Yisrael. There's a Gemara in the end of Masechtas Ksuvos that Reb Zeira was trying to avoid Reb Yehuda because Reb Yehuda was of the opinion that Kol Olam Yibavel Eretz Yisrael Over Baseh Shenemar Bavela Yuvo V'Sham Yu Ad Yom Pakti Yisem Nom Hashem. You're not allowed to go up to Eretz Canaan. And Reb Zeira very much wanted to go to Eretz Canaan. There's a Gemara Megillah Daf Vav and Aleph. There's many Gemaras in Shas. The Gemara says Reb Zeira fasted many Tanesim to forget Talmud Bavli. So when he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he should be able to learn Talmud Eretz Yisrael. So this is another Gemara on this theme of Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim. But I'm going to tell you something unbelievable. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Yuma. Afnun Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing the Soyer Shal Yom Kippur, Par Yom Kippurim, real intense Avodas Yom Kippurim Gemaras. And in that Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amruah Kameh Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Bavloi Tipshoy, these foolish Babylonians. Mishum de dairi ba'ara de chashoicha amri shmaita de mechashkan. They live in a land that's choshech. And it's for that reason the halach is that they say are all choshech. The Ritva on this Gemara brings a tshuva from the Rambam. So you have a tshuvas harambam, that tshuva, it's brought down in the Ritva in this Gemara. Listen to this. Pirish harambam zal b'tshuva. You have to hear every word in this tshuva. Sheila de Rabbi Yirmiyah, de Rotame. De Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said, Hani bavloi tipshoi, that because the Babylonians live in an arad de chashoicha, they say mili de chashoicha. This is Rabbi Yirmiyah l'shitasai. He said, there's another Gemara. Rabbi Yirmiyah said in Sanhedrin, Samech Talim and Aleph, that when the Pasuk says, in Eicha, b'machshakim hoshivani kimeisei oilam, that we were destined to live in a land that's choshech, zet Talmud Bavli. It's referring to Talmud Bavli. That Rabbi Yirmiyah had a very low opinion of the Talmid Chacham in Bavel. believed Bavloi Tepshoi, the Machshakim Yeshivani, is that Talmud Bavli, as if there was something wrong with the Torah that was coming out above the time. What was the reason? Because he saw a sharp contrast between the Torah that came from Bavel and the Torah that came from Eretz Yisrael. V'Rab Zeira Nami, says the Rambam. Rab Zeira too, you find. He wanted to forget the Torah that he learned in Bavel. Because when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he saw the Torah that was coming out of Eretz Yisrael. It was on such a different level, he didn't want to have anything to do anymore with the Torah in Bavel. However, says the Rambam, wasn't always that way. It was dafke true in the door of Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, Abaye v'Rava. Those were times where it was very hard to learn Torah in Bavel. And because it was hard to learn Torah in Bavel, because of pogroms, because of the Shmadis, right? Remember the Gemara, Seichas Apoyalim, with Rabba Bar Nachmeni, they killed him, no one even knew he died, Yatzin HaShmaseh B'Tahaira, Safik Baharis Kaidim, Safik Seir Lovin Kaidim, Festerate over there. Etc. So either way, Abaya, Rava, Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, it was in those times where it was very difficult to learn Torah in Bavel, then B'machshakim, Hoshivani, Kimesi Olam, that's referring to the Talmud Bavel. V'amrita Nami, Perek Eilu Treifetz, Ork, Rabbi Yosef, V'Rab Zeira, Amar, Lu, Rab Zeira too lived in that door. Shaya Baruch, Machos HaShmodes, V'Amar, Lu, Rab Zeira, Shem Lo Yisrael. So Rab Zeira, who lived in that door, in the door of Rabbi, and Rabbi Yosef, and Abaye Verov, and Rabbi Yirmiyah, these Amoraim all had a very low opinion of the Torah that came out of Bavel, because they lived at a time where it was taka very hard to learn Torah in Bavel. Therefore, it was Hani Bavloi Tipshoi. It was B'machshakim Yishivani Kimesi Oilam. That's why Rabbi Zeira wanted to forget the Torah. That's why Rabbi Zeira said, Avir Deir Tzor Machkim. Because he lived in a tkufa where it was really challenging to learn Torah in Bavel. V'amrina v'chulu v'chulu. Avo, I'm forwarding. Achrike niskabra Torah b'Bavel. But generations later, says the Rambam, Torah became very strong in Bavel. Kolshkein b'imei Rav Ashi. And it reached its pinnacle in the times of Rav Ashi. D'amrina b'imeis Rebbe v'ad Rav Ashi le'matzinu Torah v'gul v'makam echad. You see, the Torah wax, Chazal wax poetic about the God of Rav Ashi. I thought he was from the Bavloi Tipshoi. Chas v'shol. Not Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi reached unbelievable. He was the author of the Talmud Bavel. He reached unbelievable madrigas. Either way, that's what the Rambam says. And ad kan divrei Rabbeinu Zal, zok the Ritva, v'chayim heim l'moitzeim. This is a beautiful Rambam, says the Ritva. Either way, so the Rambam says that Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Hani Bavloi Tipshoi. And l'shitasa, he said, in Sanhedrin, Chavdal, Rabban Al, Machshak, Meshvanik, Beisri, Yolam, said Talmud Bavli. And you see this theme by Rabbi Zeira as well. Rabbi Zeira fasted to forget Talmud Bavli. And you see that Rabbi Zeira said, Avir, there it's Tzro, Machkim. So Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zeira, zok the Rambam, because they lived around the same time as Rabban, Rabbi Yosef, Abaye Barova. It was a time where it was very hard to learn Torah in Bavel. But years later, tkufas later, Koshke v'imei Rav Ashi, everything changed. So here's the punchline. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, in the Sechtes Erevin, Dav Samach Gimel Amin Aleph. He brings as follows. He brings that he found in the Chavis Yoyer, that the Chavis Yoyer says, that the Rishonim say, whenever there's a machloikis, Ravino and Rav Ashi, the Halacha is like Ravino. Why is the halacha like Ravino? Zok the Chavis Yoyer, because Ravino lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Ashi lived in Bavel, and Avira the Eretz Yisrael, Ahani lay the Ravino. He had Teres Eretz Yisrael, Avira the Eretz Yisrael Machim. Rav Ashi didn't, and it's for that reason Avira the Eretz Yisrael is giving Machim. Brings later that he found the same exact thing in a sefer called Yichusei Tanon Vameiron. The author was Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Kloyman Azal. And he says the same thing. V'shamati ani asoider ki halocha kiravina im Rav Ashi. And the reason is because he lived in Eretz Yisrael and chad minayu b'bnei Eretz Yisrael ki trei minam b'bnei Bavel. V'avina Eretz Yisrael hoya v'avira v'schusa Eretz Yisrael garma v'kabola b'yadeinu b'kol sh'bnei Eretz Yisrael chalkum b'bnei Bavel halocha k'bnei Eretz Yisrael. That's what he brings. So the reason that halocha is like Ravina over Rav Ashi, because Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Ashi lived in Bavel. So the halacha is going to be like the Bnei Eretz Yisrael over the Bnei Rav Ashi. I once thought that maybe that's why the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Keneged Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Rav and Shmuel were the two G'dayli Adar in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan was the God of Adar in Eretz Yisrael. Could be, it was that Avir there to show Machim of Rabbi Yochanan, that's the reason the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rav Ashi. But I'm going to tell you something fascinating. There's a Ramban, Bamas. The Ramban says Mefurish. The Ramban says that whenever there's a machloikis, Rabba and Rav Zeira, the halacha is like Rav Zeira. You know why? He says two reasons. Number one, Shehu Basra. Rav Zeira lived after Rabba, so usually you're passing like the Basra. Va'odif le'mifzak kavosei, the Avir d'Eretz Yisrael ach kemetve. Because Rav Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Zeira was leicha to Avir d'Eretz Yisrael. So I was thinking like this. Kepshute, the makar to the Chavos Yar, is this Ramban. You see in the Ramban this idea that Avir d'Eretz Yisrael can impact halacha. The halacha is like Rav Zeira over Rabba. Why like Rav Zeira over Rabba? Because Rav Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabba only lived in Bavel. So if the Ramban said Allah is like Rav Zeira over Rabba, because Avir d'Eretz Yisrael's machkim zok to Chavos Yair, generations later, but zok to Chavos Yair, an achroin, that it could be, you could say the same thing regarding Ravina Rav Ashi. That Allah is like Ravina over Rav Ashi, because Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Ashi lived in Bavel. But l'chura, like this Shuvas HaRambam, it could be a tchaluk be a side. There's a chiluk between the machlekes Rav Zeira and Rabba, and the machlek is Ravina Rav Ashi. Why? Because the Rambam delineated his beautiful tshuva, where the Rambam said that lo ichol ador shoven when it came to Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. The word kufis, where Eretz Yisrael was very different than Bavel, where Avir and Eretz Yisrael machkim, in the times of Abaya, and Rava, and Rabba, and Rabbi Yosef, and Rab Zeira, and Rabbi Yirmiyos. He mentions Rab Zeira. He mentions Rab and those kufas. It was true. Rab Zeira said, Rabbi Yirmiyos, so machim. Rab Zeira was the one that fasted. He wanted to forget all his Torah. He wanted to forget all his Torah from Bava. But that was only true in that kufa. But Zach, the Rambam, years later, it changed. Kosh came in by Rav Ashi. In the times of Rav Ashi, fakert, the Torah in Bavel was stronger. Gavra Torah in Bavel. There it was just the opposite. Ravina Rav Ashi. Oh, there you don't have any more that Avir d'Eretz Yisrael machkim. As it relates to Rab and Rav Zeira, over there that halacha is going to be like Zeira over Rab. Because in that kufa was true. That's when it was very difficult to learn Torah in Bavel. Thus, Rab and Rav Zeira, the halacha is going to be like Rav Zeira. But Ravina Rav Ashi, over there, fakert, that was the kufa where the Torah was knocking in Bavel. If the Torah was knocking in Bavel, there the halacha could be like Rav Ashi or Ravina. It's not muchach that you could say Avir d'Eretz Yisrael machkim that the halacha should be like Ravina or Rav Ashi. That's true. In the time where it was b'machshakim v'yishivani k'meitzei olam above'el, where there was a shas hashmodes, but in the time where faker Torah was neskaber, just because Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael and Rav Ashi lived in Bavel doesn't necessarily mean that the Torah that was coming out of Eretz Yisrael was of any better quality than the Torah was coming out of Bavel. It would have no shaykhis to this halacha.